Well, I wrote my thought on the board today. It's above all others. And I'd like to look at Luke, the 10th chapter. And I desire your prayers. I don't want to be guilty of what we had in Sunday school, of feeling like we can do anything because we can't. I need the Lord to help us, and so I pray the Lord would bless this thought. Luke 10 and 25 says that, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again, and I will repay thee. Which now of these three thou wast neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. I want to notice a few things about this passage of Scripture. When Jesus says to the lawyer here, ask him how he read us, he told him right. To love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. I can't hardly take in what that's talking about. Maybe you do, but it's hard for me to really take that in. And if anything in the Scriptures that I ponder that I can't fulfill, maybe it's that, or I'm not fulfilling, or it seems like that's such a challenge. The Bible tells us in a lot of different places how to respond to people. It says for a husband to love their wives. But it doesn't say with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says to love your neighbors, and it's given here, but it doesn't say with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It says to love them that you worship with. Those are a household of faith, but it doesn't say with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can understand what he's talking about. He gives a really good illustration here of loving your neighbor. But if we're to fulfill that, you think of this. If we're to fulfill these other commandments of love, then how much more is this? Nowhere does it command in any way to love like that. This is the strongest commandment of love that there is. To love with all your heart and all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your mind. to love that way. It is quite a challenge, and it's so much a challenge, I can't help from asking what to me is an obvious question. If I do that, how am I different than when I don't? That has to have dramatic meaning. It has to have overwhelming meaning. It ought to be something that I can easily answer. If I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it plays a big part of my life. It plays a drastic part of my life. If you can't say, Lord help us, I'm not trying to make a condemnation or anything like that. I'm just saying that if you was to say that you love your wife, you would have to be able to put details to that. So I want to go through this place of loving your neighbor because there's details put to this. So he, in his way of answering who's your neighbor to this man and what you're supposed to do, how do you do it? Who's your neighbor? You're to love him. Ask yourself, not with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but just ask yourself. And that has great definition to it. It has to have some actions. There has to be something that you would do that you would otherwise not do if you didn't love him. So he says to this that there was a man. He makes a point. This scripture is making a point that he did not, this Jewish man did not find another Jewish man. He didn't find somebody that was like him. He found somebody that had a national, rivalry there. There was a natural place there between the Samaritans, and they disagreed on worship. They disagreed on many things. There was there was an obvious breach between the two. And that's who he picked. And he picked somebody that was not favored by the people that he was coming up to. But he said, This is what's there. You know that if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to have to drop some things. I mean, we're going to have to overlook some things when people's not just like us. I mean, can we overlook the political differences of our age? Can we overlook you know what I'm saying? These natural things that is in there. Jesus picked this situation. And so the situation is that a man fell among thieves. And those that were supposed to help didn't help. And it's a part of the story that he wanted us to understand about this. This isn't driven by anything else other than love. It isn't driven by duty. It isn't driven by the places there. He says, do you love your neighbor? And he comes by, and this man fell among thieves here was in a certain place. Yes, there could be danger. But I love my neighbor. Yes, the thieves might be around. But I still love my neighbor. Here's somebody that is in need. It's hard to indifferently drive by somebody, pass by somebody, pass by the human condition, pass by those that have needs without stopping and helping. But I want to add, this is powerful, but it isn't loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's loving him as yourself. And the man comes down and he had pity. He had pity on him. So he goes, and I want to make a real point of this because it's about the heart. All of serving God is about the heart. He went down there and bound his wounds. With what? The given is that he had to have had something. He put him on his own beast. Everybody don't have a beast. It's about the heart. Many a people could have come by there and not had nothing to wrap him with or not had a beast to put him on. You'll find places in your life that you're not able to do things because you're not in the position of that, but it's still about the heart. If I can do it, I would. There is a lot of people that's going to be in positions I can't help, but it's about having a heart to. Jesus wasn't saying to do what you can't do. He went down there and paid the inn down there to keep him and paid him some money. Not everybody's got money. Not everybody's got a beast to put them on. Not everybody's got the stuff to wrap them up with. It's about having a heart to care for your neighbor. It's about this man doing what he had, and he took what he had in his saddlebag and took care of the man. He put him on his own beast, which means he walked and the man rode the beast because he was down. But it doesn't mean that you have to have all the places, but it means you have to have the heart to take care of your neighbor. And it will require, but it isn't just a commandment. God wants us to have a heart to love our neighbor. And count humanity our neighbor. Count those that are different from us as the neighbor. Count those that may be even opposed to us in things as our neighbor. To have the heart that I would help them if I could. I'd help them if I can. So obviously when there's a commandment that says to love your neighbor as yourself, it's going to make a difference in our life. It should make a difference in our life. It has to make a difference in our life. I have to somehow look at things differently, see things differently than I would if I didn't have this. And I think that's true. I think that we ought to have that kind of a heart towards our fellow man. It's the heart that Jesus had. It's what God wants to put into us. You know, realize something. This question asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he didn't go through all of the little things that, you know, you got to have your shoes polished on Sunday morning. You have to do all, or you have to comb your hair a certain way, or you have to do a certain thing. There is things that further the scripture tells us how to live life to please God. But this man asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, this is what the man ends up with at the end of it, is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. This is what this answer was. And he said, go and do it. Go and do it. Make a difference to people. Care about things. This is the man do it. And with all of that, this seems to be, Lord, I can say of that part of the scripture that says to love the Lord or to and your neighbor as yourself, I'm going to stand here and say I feel a challenge. There's always a sacrifice involved in that. This man didn't get to where he was going as quick as he would have normally got there. It cost him some things that he had bought and put it in there. It cost him to have to walk. It cost him quite a bit to take care of this man. It cost quite a bit. It's a challenge because it's always going to cost us mainly time. Mainly time and care. It takes time to write a card. It takes time to make a phone call. It takes time to round somebody's wound. It takes time to show somebody that you're really important to me and you're important to God. It takes time for all that. All that's going to have a drastic effect if we follow it. We're going to be different in our life. Things are going to be different than we would normally be, where we can just pass by somebody indifferently or not care about the plight of someone. And yet in all of that, I want to get to the main part of the message. In all of that, and the great challenges that might bring, it's not with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So how much more? I want to challenge you with this morning. What does that mean? If I am bound by my Christian duty to have my life changed by the people that I'm to love, that it's bound to make some difference. What does this mean to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you know that it means that it's above all others? It's above all other thing, above all other person, above all other duty. Do you know that you're more duty-bound by this scripture? Loving God ought to promote us more to want to pray and be in contact with God than to do anything else? Do you know that the responsibility of this scripture puts will make me different if I love God, to come to service, God's service, to give to God my time and attention above all others? Well, I may like to fish, but he didn't say to love fishing above all, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I can have inklings of wanting to fish more than do the things of God, or any other thing that you can have. Do you know that this scripture is saying that, well, of course you're supposed to love your family. You wouldn't be right if you didn't. But there was no command to love your family with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Think of the power of this scripture. Then ask, this is what I'm doing. I'm thinking of this scripture and saying, Lord, what should I be doing? How can I be able to stand and say, by God's grace, I fulfill this scripture? I love God with all my heart. That means, Lord help us, that means that I would want to see the kingdom of God advance above my own advancements. That means that I want to see the souls come into the kingdom. I want to see the kingdom flourish. That means that I'm going to take my time, my effort, my money, my things, all of that. If I love God with all my heart, think of anything that you can love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What do you give to it? I can tell you right now, I'm walking into somebody's house most usually and tell you, not, I don't see into their heart, but I can walk into somebody's place and start almost immediately tell you what they're about. If you walk into a place, and there's a great big TV, a big screen TV there, and over to the side there's 1,000 videos sitting over here, and there's a big satellite dish out there, I can tell you something about them. I can tell you if they got a library there of Christian things. I can tell you where I walk in and on their porch is filled with golf clubs and golf bags and golf things. I can tell you what they do when I walk in and see there's gun cabinets that fits the whole walls, and there's all the gun cabinets, and there's four or five big mounts, deer head mounts, and so maybe a bull and a bear on there. I walk in and tell you what their heart's on. But what does it mean to love God with all your heart? We easy can tell people's passions. I can name you, I won't, but I can name you people's names, and right off you would click to them. I name you people, and you'd right off say they love to hunt. That's what they do is love to hunt. I can tell you somebody else, and it's vehicles. Redoing vehicles. They love those vehicles. You know, there's nothing wrong with loving those things, having a desire. We live life, we got what we like, but right here, above all others. If I spend all my time, money, everything to get these hobbies and things that I have, it's easy to say, I love that. But can I really testify that I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Does the actions of your life say, I love God? It's obvious. God's above all others. God's above everything. Yeah, I may lose something here. I may lose something this. But God is above everything else in my life. I risk losing everything I have for this, because I love God more than I love the land. You know, we can love the land. You can love your occupation. You can love it and just love. You want to do it. That's all you want to do. You want to do it. You can love art. You can love art. You just want to paint pictures. You can love art or buy art. You can do all this. You can love all that. But you can't love it more than you love God. Above all others, I give up everything. If you find that you're something that's really, really it's hard to do, the devotions of God, I think that really ought to consider this. When we find it and say, I don't know how I'm a bit different by loving God with all my heart and not loving all my God. I think it would be pretty easy to say, you know, there's a real place there. This speaks of the most tremendous devotion. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means it's above all others. It means that there's nothing in comparison to, there's nothing challenges it. It is, to me, by far, the most important thing that my life holds is that I love God. That I want my life to be a picture of what it means to serve God. I want to be in God's will. I want the things... Well, I'll tell you this. I had this message for quite a while. I thought maybe I'd preach it out at Guthrie, but I didn't. But it was helped further along by a message that Brother Carl preached. And maybe some of you may have listened online. But Brother Carl preached a message the other night on being pure. And, you know, while the message was going on, I just thought it was an okay message. It was a good message. And then after the message started really wearing on me. And then by the next morning, I was walking, and it really just intensified. I haven't had a message in years and years that just touched me like that message did about being pure in thoughts, pure in actions, pure in the things that you do. And he talked about a lot of subjects, but my mind went to that purity of thought and how if you're not careful, you let yourself go into these thought patterns of negativity towards people or a contention towards people or a contempt. A contempt for things, which is a contempt for God, a contempt for where I'm at, contempt for what people are doing, and all of that. And not only that, but where your eyes go, what you listen to. But he touched all of that, and all of it just come into this fullness of me. And I was saying, Lord, help me. I feel so touched by that. I know it's right. I know the Lord wants that. And what's the compelling thing? What is the compelling thing to live a life so cautious, so careful? Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. What could possibly be the sustaining force of that? What could possibly make somebody love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I want what you want in my life. I'm willing to sacrifice time and effort and what I might get and gain, what it could be to me. I'm willing to sacrifice for your will. And there's no doubt about that we have an example in the scriptures. We have one good example in the scriptures. One that we can set up as the example for our life. This hasn't been watered down by anybody or anything. Jesus was the pure example of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loved the Father. Everything that he did was in conjunction with the Father. He labored in prayer. He gave his life to that. What did he earn? Remember when the scribe come and said, "We'll follow you wheresoever you go," and he said, "The birds of the air and have nests, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay." He didn't love those things, but he suffered those kind of things. He loved God and the purpose that God had called him to, and what he was coming to do. He gave his full devotion to it, totally. Famous Gettysburg Address, Lincoln's famous, 15-minute Gettysburg Address was so powerful, and the idea that he said that these men gave their last full measure of devotion. What was their last? What can you do to say that you think about something? Or there's a cause worth having and doing that. These men gave their last full measure. They died. That's what Lincoln was talking about. Of those Union soldiers, 22,500 of them were, I think it was over 40 some thousand, 22,000 of them over that was these soldiers that was preserving the Union and fighting for a cause on one side. They gave their full measure of devotion. And he says to this full measure, let us not let them die in vain. Of all, they gave, what more can you give? What more can you give than to give your life for it? They that will gain their life shall lose it, but they that give their life shall gain it. There's something to give there. Think of this. Can you really say, this is a challenge, can you really say today, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? I know you can say it. But can you say it and say, that's it. It's true. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think all of this, of course, has understanding. And it's about the heart. But it's got to make a difference. There is definition to my life for me to say that I love my wife and family. I do what I do. I do a lot of what I do for them. I would do whatever. I can say, yes, they're very important to me. There's no doubt at all that I love them. I can say I love this congregation. I can say I love people. I can say all of those kind of things. And there's actions and there's things that I can say to do that. And even at that, there's challenges that come in sometimes for me to say, how much love do I have right there? And how much of it is selfishness? How much selfishness is injected in to what I'm doing and what I feel and those kind of things? And it's there. You can see that. Lord, help us. But when I can say of all the scriptures that says of all the things that we can do, I find it possible to do. This says to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, with all that's in you, that there is nothing above it. Every man would have to, by the light of the Lord, check his own heart. Is that the case? Do I have things in my life that is above God? You know, there's a simple term for that. That's called idolatry. That's the simple term of that, that I have other things that fulfill sections of my life. I've told this many times here. I'm going to have to wind up, but I told this many times here. My sister-in-law of past, she had made a statement to me one time that she had quit smoking. And I said, good. And then the next time I see her, sometime after that, she was smoking. And when I saw her, she said, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. You know, and because I always picked on her about it and told her it wasn't good for her, that kind of stuff. And I said, no, you know what I'm going to say. And anyway, I said, what did God, you know, you told me that God told you to quit smoking. I mean, did he change his mind? What did God do to you? And anyway, I said, is wrong with what you're doing? Oh, I know, it hurts your body. And well, she went through this stuff. And I said, no, none of that. I mean, there's other things that do that. No. I said, what do you do? When something happens that you can't handle, what do? I got to have a cigarette. I said exactly right. Do you know that you are substituting the spirit of you're substituting Jesus with a cigarette? The place that he holds for our lives, for us to go to, for us to get help from, for us to pray to, you go get a cigarette and stick it in that position. That's the worst part about these things, is you're substituting this place of the Lord. I don't think it has to be in an addictive place like that for us to do that. I think there's going to be a lot of places in our life that we can substitute all of the other things of life to try to put in there. But to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Brother Salmon said one time here about some people that was getting in trouble at the time with the Lord. Some things has happened, and they were staying away from service. I remember Brother Mart saying, at the very time they should come, they stay away. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He becomes my help, my hope. Everything is wrapped up into God. It's all wrapped up in God. God's will for my life. With all my heart, with all that, it means there's nothing above it. There's nothing in comparison with it. There's nothing that can challenge or take its place. That's the relationship that we're supposed to have. The things of this world may crumble and fall, but I love God with all my heart. Everybody in here may not like me, and everybody may leave, and I'll be the last one because I love God. See what I'm saying? It isn't about people. How many people have you known that quit coming to service or quit going and gave up the Lord because somebody offended them? It doesn't make sense. It can't be. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's nothing that can take that place when you're in that kind of place. You know how much different it is to seek for God's understanding and God's mind? It's a long story to get into, but I feel like that, well, I know I was hacked, and some of this thing does, and there was some innocent people were hurt because of it, because of what ended up happening, and they ended up, anyway, there was a statement made to me that about the people that did it, and my statement back to these people that was in that place, I said, you know, it's really hard to say something without saying it. But I told them, I don't feel that way. I said, I feel like praying for them that they'll find Jesus. Do you know, when you love God with all your heart, it's pretty easy to think the way God would think. It's a lot easier to want to think the way God. Yeah, I had a pretty rough time of it, but you know what? God forgave me of all this stuff. God forgave me of so much, and is so kind and so good to me that the only thing I can really come up to is to go ahead and love my neighbor as myself. Lord, I love you with all my heart, and it gives me the strength and power to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not sure that you'd be very successful at loving your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Nothing else is above it. So Lord, help us. I hope this is a challenge to you to at least sit and wonder, do I love God with all my heart? What should I be doing if I love God with all my heart? How would it change the way my life would be if I didn't love Him with all my heart? You pray for me. I want to be faithful.